Good morning, everyone. Fellowship in the house of the Lord. Good morning. Good to see everyone here today. Welcome. We're glad that you're here and start off this new month here with us. And we just wanted to check to see if we have any announcements. We have a few of those from the back of the bulletin. Anyone else have an announcement they need to make? Lexi?
These letters are in your mailboxes or in your inboxes in your email.
Okay. Thanks so much for the newsletter. March newsletter is out there.
We have a mailbox for the church now over at the post office. It's number 75, and I will be sending out notices so you know that. The way we write the mail address will change.
Box 75. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. And this is the first Sunday of the month, so it's birthday Sunday. Do we have any March birthdays or anniversaries? Who has a March birthday? Over here? Okay, in the back? All right, great. Congratulations. Why don't we sing Happy Birthday?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
God bless you.
It was my turn to bring the treats in this month, and I forgot them.
Okay, so we'll get a treat next week. Thank you. All right, any other announcements for today? All right, let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen for this prelude. Thank you. Our call to worship comes from 1 Chronicles. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. Lord, we give you the blessings that your name deserves. And we ask your Holy Spirit would come and move in our midst. Pray you would touch hearts and change our minds to follow your word and to be in your will, and to ask in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Would you join me in standing, and we'll sing our first hymn. It's Holy, 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 number 2. We are grateful to be in God's presence, and we give him the praise and the glory that's due his name. And the call to stewardship here also comes from 1 Chronicles. Again, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. And so as we have put our offerings in the box in the back and have gathered offerings from the congregation in the week and for the past month, we're grateful for those who have given, and we ask God's blessing on them. So would you pray for me, please? Lord, you have given us so much, and you've asked for us to return a portion of that back to you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless those who have given and bless these gifts. We pray that they be used wisely in the ministry here at Rocky Ridge, and also that they would touch lives around the world. And so, God, add your blessing to it, multiply it, and use it greatly for the work of the kingdom here on earth. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We have a chance to share our joys and concerns. And so, what is on your heart today? What should we be praying about? Yes, Faye?
Okay. She's going to hate my soul because she's been really sick for the last week. And I do have a joy that Queenie's able to be back in church today. She's talking.
Yes, glad to see.
That's a good thing or a bad
thing. That's a good thing. And we're glad that you're here, Jean. Yes, Danny? Thank you. And here.
Ricky wanted me to announce that he's proud that his granddaughter came with him today.
Yes.
And I want to also keep Josh and Cody and Travis on the prayer list and the Baker family.
Right. Ed Smith?
I want to pray for my sister because she's about to have her baby any day.
Oh, great.
I'm excited.
That is something to be excited about. All right, new life coming into our world soon.
It's also nice to see Ari in church today, too. Buddy's granddaughter, great-granddaughter.
Buddy's great-granddaughter, wonderful. Yes, Buddy.
Pat Riggs, president of the auxiliary area, she lost her father last week.
Okay. Is the Riggs family?
Riggs family, yeah.
Continue to pray for my wife. Has bad, good days and bad days, lower bad days than good, but we pray that the Lord will continue to heal her. Of course, Bob, he has, she's been having just trouble and issues and so forth, and everyone else that maybe we're not aware of it, but the Lord knows who they are.
Glad you're both here. Deb.
I have a joy. Ralph's been taking therapy. He doesn't like therapy, but he is walking so much better. So I'm just thankful that there are therapists out there that have the patience and the knowledge and the good care and compassion to help people with their therapy. And I'd like to keep, I don't know the young man's name, but it's a friend of Toby and Carrie Ann's. His first name's Tony. I don't know his last name, but he is battling cancer, and the prognosis is not good. So just be with him and his family. God knows his last name. So.
Okay. Prayers for Tony.
Oh, Pastor, I want to say our country needs prayers for real bad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All the war and fighting.
Amen. Yes.
I have some unspoken requests, and I'd also like to keep the Pat Sweeney family in the passing of her husband. And my boss and her husband both are down sick, so they asked, that's Becky and Chip Long, they are asking for prayers this morning as well.
Thank you.
Well, I also forgot our granddaughter, Maddie. She's not well. She has strep throat, and she's not feeling the greatest.
Does Wyatt have strep throat, too?
I don't know. He didn't seem to have it.
Okay, that's good.
A lot of stuff was going around.
Yeah.
Any others? All right. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. We'll take a moment of silence, share what's on your heart, and then we'll pray together. Oh God, hear our prayer. Lord God Almighty, we give you thanks and praise for the opportunity that you give us to come boldly into your throne of grace and to share that which is on our hearts and minds. Lord, thank you for being there to intercede for us. And Holy Spirit, to share the things that maybe even sometimes are too difficult to put into words. We are grateful, Lord, for those that have been mentioned here by name. We pray for those who are sick. We ask for a hand of healing to be upon them. We thank you, Lord, for new life and for young lives. We ask that you would keep a hedge of protection around them. Lord, thank you for bringing us through sickness. There's been much colds and flus and respiratory symptoms being passed around, and we pray, Lord, that that would come to an end here as we begin soon to enter into spring, and so we ask for an end to that. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, Lord. Would you comfort these families that have been mentioned here? The challenges that they will face, the empty seat around the table. We pray, Lord, you would bring your hand to comfort. Give them wisdom in the decisions that need to be made. For those who are battling various symptoms and problems and like cancer, Lord, we pray for Tony. We pray, Lord, you be with Cody and Travis. We ask, Lord, you would continue to move mightily in our congregation. And so thank you, Lord, for Pat and Bob to be here and others. Help Kathy with this new treatment, Lord. Pray that she would respond well. We, Lord, know how much our country needs you in our midst to follow your word. And so we pray for our leaders, surround them with good counsel, help them to make wise decisions that affect all of us. We know we need to live in a world of trouble, and so there are so many countries, Lord, experiencing upheaval, whether because of war, governments, famine, or disease. Lord, we pray that you would help our brothers and sisters around the world, believers in Christ, some who are under persecution. Lord, we pray that you keep them safe. Help them to be strong in their witness for you. And we ask, Lord, you would move in our congregation. In the week ahead, Lord, as we enter into Lent, Lord, we pray you would prepare our hearts and help us, Lord, to be ready for Easter. We thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. And we thank you, Lord, for your resurrection that we'll celebrate. So, Lord, we pray you'd have your way. Help us to be your disciples, your followers in our world today. Hear our prayer as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand with me again, and we'll sing, and it is number 110, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
And miss me, and I call.
Our scripture for this morning is Psalms 99. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion, he is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name, he is holy. The king is mighty, he loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel our forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? God, as we hear the siren calling for help, we pray that you would help those in need right now and help those who are helping others. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our strength and our Redeemer. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come and have your way today. Amen. Well, today is Transformation Sunday. It is the last Sunday of Epiphany, and this week we begin Lent. This year, Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, which is March the 5th, and it is a special time that we can prepare for Easter. As we begin Lent, we also recognize that next Sunday is the first Sunday of Lent, and so that begins the 40 days before Easter. And it is also the hour that we spring forward. So don't forget, next week we move our clocks forward 1 hour. You know, just as Lent is a time of preparation, it should be a holy time. We remember that Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. When I was in Israel in 2012, we went to that mountain, and it is a pretty steep climb up the mountain. Our tour bus couldn't make the effort, and so we had to get off the buses and get on little vans. So our group broke up into several vans, and then the van drives up the mountain. It's kind of a windy road that goes all the way up to the top. And up there, of course, you know, Jesus transfigured had three of his disciples there, James, John, and Peter, and they were marveled by seeing Moses and Elijah and Jesus talking, and they felt like, you know, hey, let's camp out here forever, and we'll build some tabernacles and a place to worship here, and Jesus said, no, we got to go back down to the from the mountain into the valley, and so, but they have erected a church there, Church of the Transfiguration. It has some mosaics and pictures inside of that event. But can you imagine Jesus, your leader, your friend, looks normal like the rest of us, and then all of a sudden kind of a bright glowing light, so bright as like you're looking into the sun, transfigured before them. And then here's Moses and Elijah. You know, they've been dead for centuries, and yet Peter and James and John recognize them. Here they are talking to Jesus. What an amazing thing to be transfigured in such a way. Well, hopefully this is time leading into Easter. Lent can be a transformation time for us. We began our worship by singing Holy, 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 and that is one of my favorite hymns. Thank you, Jerry, for playing it. And I wanted to ask, you know, are we really ready for Lent? The time is moving on so quickly, isn't it? Here we are, March already. 2 months have gone by. And we are to prepare ourselves for Easter. God's Spirit is moving. You know, last week we witnessed 120 people get baptized at FCF. They have baptisms about three or four times a year, usually 60 to 70 people. This year, this time, they had over 120 people baptized. You know, so, you know, God is moving in the midst of all the negative stuff that we hear going on around us. God is changing lives, and people are being committed to Him.
Amen.
Are we being changed? Are we being transformed? Do we understand what God's holiness is and what it means for our lives? Lent is to be a holy time. It is to be a time that's different than the rest of the year. And so I wonder, what will we do to make Lent different this year? Will we give up something? Will we attend an extra worship service? Will we maybe give something sacrificially to someone in need? In what ways will Lent be a holier time than the rest of the year? Will it be a time to tremble before Him? I guess you probably saw the sermon title, Holy Trembling. You probably maybe thought, Pastor Tracy, where are you going with that? and so I want us to think a little bit about what it means to tremble in God's presence. Holy trembling. Is it like a stage fright? Is it like getting up in front of people to speak? You know, public speaking is one of the things that we fear the most. And I can tell you, after doing it for decades, I still have a little bit of butterflies when I first get up here and get started, you know. And I think if you don't, you probably, that's what you should be afraid of. you know, there's always a sense of you want to do your best. You want to present God in the best light possible. And so you're going to feel some butterflies when you're in front of people. But is that holy trembling? Maybe it's holy trembling. Do you remember when you went to the altar to get married? And right before the bride came down the aisle, with a little bit of nervousness there. What am I getting myself into? Is this, you know, is this the right thing to do? All those kinds of questions. Maybe your knees started to knock a little bit. Is that holy trembling? Maybe holy trembling is something like maybe you just experienced a near-death accident, or maybe you're on someplace really high and sensed maybe being afraid of being up high. I can recall, and I probably have shared this before, but Dad decided years ago we were going to have an extra silo, and so we built a Solenberger silo, which is one of those cement silage containers, you know, and they pour a ring of cement, and then they pour another ring of cement, and they keep going up 100 feet straight up. And the guys were up there working as they were building the silo, and, you know, they're just walking around on the top of that silo like they were on the ground. And I was always amazed at that, you know. So then we got the silo finished, and we started to fill it, and so it was time to close the lid. And Dad said, "Climb up there and close the lid for me." And so, okay. And well, it's just, you know, barbed wire, piece of barbed wire as the ladder rung. So you go up the barbed ladder, and there was just a small metal cage, not even, you know, complete, just big holes in between the cages as you got higher up. And so going up, not a problem. Get up there, close the lid. Go to get back on the ladder to go down. And that's when it hit me. I don't think I like heights. It took me a while to get turned around and get positioned to get on the ladder. And as I did so, I started to shake. And as I was coming down that ladder, each rung, I had to hold on real careful because my knees started knocking and I was shaking like this. And when I finally got down, Dad was hollering at me and kind of encouraged me as I was coming down. And got down, he said, "If you're scared, don't go up again." Well, I wouldn't have went up the first time he hadn't told me. I didn't go up again. Is that holy trembling? I think holy trembling is more than being scared. It's more than reacting to something here, but it's reacting to more than just a physical or emotional response. It's reacting to being in the presence of a holy God. It is the awareness that God is holy. I wonder if we've forgotten that a little bit. He's the creator. He's the judge. He's the sustainer. And we see in Revelation, we see here the four beasts are in heaven, and they're crying out night and day, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." We're to praise God for his holiness. The psalmist here in Psalms 99 exalts us to worship the Lord, to worship a God who is holy, the King of the universe, who reigns supreme. This is the last of the series of royal psalms celebrating the millennial reign. And it begins in Psalms 93 through 99. Psalms 97 and 99 begin with and completes the trilogy by echoing the words, "The Lord reigneth." Three times we're told that God is holy. And so let's kind of walk ourselves through the verse here in this hymn and see if we can realize again what it means by worshiping a holy God. "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved." This is a reference to the Shekinah glory that's shown in the tabernacle. Remember, the children of Israel built a structure to worship God, and it was movable, so they'd take it down and move to the next place and set it up, the tabernacle. And God's presence came into the tabernacle. It filled that tabernacle with a cloud, with a light. And that cloud journeyed with them through the day in a pillar of fire at night. And it was in then the Holy of Holies, the inner center room, the Holy of Holies, where they kept the Ark of the Covenant. And it was said that it was thought that God's feet rested on the top of that box. And the angel, the cherubim's wings covered the top of that, overshadowing the mercy seat. Cherubims are thought to be one of the highest in all the angelic hierarchy. And they are oftentimes seen in Scripture as guarding the way. And they guarded the gate to the Garden of Eden. And then also there are seraphim mentioned in Scriptures. Seraphim are creatures that have six wings. They have two that cover their face. They have two that cover their feet. And then they have two that they fly by. And here they are in heaven crying out, "Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in God's presence in such a way? I'd imagine the high priest was a little bit nervous about performing his duties. Once a year, high priest had to enter into the Holy of Holies and make sacrifice for the sins of the people. It was such a dangerous job that they tied a rope to his foot. And if he did something wrong, or not right, exactly right, he could be killed. And so they couldn't enter in the Holy of Holies themselves, and so they would pull him out with the rope. "Lord, I want to do right. I want to do this correctly. I want you to accept the sacrifices to cover the sins of the people. But God is holy, and sin cannot be in his presence." Charles Stanley once wrote, "Why should we tremble when we ponder God's sovereignty? Why should our hearts be moved when we consider his presence? Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality." The psalmist says, "Let the people tremble." Imagine if you had audience with the King of England or with the President of the United States. and you enter into, there's certain protocol in going into the White House, certain protocol in meeting with someone very high up. Be a little bit nervous, wouldn't you? Want to make sure that you do things right. Let the people tremble, because God is holy. The second verse says, the Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. No political or religious leader is greater than God. In all the world, in all of history, none is more important. None is greater. Consider how great this world is that which we live in. The power of nature, the highest mountain, the deepest sea, the power that's seen in a tornado, in an earthquake, in a flood, in a fire. We saw recently in California how the winds just swept through and took whole communities, burnt everything. God is like that. God is consuming fire. And he has created everything out of nothing. Imagine the power that God has. And in the New Jerusalem, the Lord will be high and lifted up. We worship him. We lift him up when we come to worship. We lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And we lift him up above all people. Above any other gods, above any other leaders, he is the Lord. Verse 3 says, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. He is to be glorified. He is to be praised. His name is awesome. You know, strict Jews are very careful about mispronouncing God's name. And when they write God, they write G-D. They don't even spell it out. When they write Yahweh, they write W-H-Y-H-W-H, which stands for Yahweh. But they won't say Yahweh. They'll write it that way. They don't want to mispronounce God's name because it's so holy. I think one of the things Catholics have done well is that they have kept the sense of holiness. Now, there's a difference between high church and low church, right? So we brethren, we tend to be on the low church side. And Catholics tend to be on the high church side. But, you know, when Catholics enter into the sanctuary, they have an altar. You just don't walk up to the altar and play around the altar, right? They'll often cross themselves. And when they get up to leave, they don't turn their back on the altar. And so there's a high respect for that. I remember years ago, we had a tour of the convent that's downtown in Frederick. And we went into the area where the altar was. And it was kind of high, lifted up. And there were nuns there, and the nuns were praying. It was a very sacred place and a very sacred time. And we kind of just walked through the back of the room and looked to see what they were doing and didn't speak because they were praying. It was a very holy time, very holy place. I think maybe one of the things that we've lost as brethren is that sense of holiness. You know, when we come into the sanctuary, we're a family, we're chit-chatting, and we're talking to each other, which is good fellowship. But I wonder if we've lost a little bit of that sense of holiness. That when the prelude begins, that is a time when we're entering into worship. God is holy. His name is holy. And we need to have a respect and a reverence that matches his holiness. The fear of the Lord is more than having a reverence or an awe of who God is and what he can do. It is the continual awareness that I am in the presence of a holy and just and almighty God, and in every thought, word, and action and deed is open before him and is being judged by him. You know, just as little children need to learn to respect fire, don't touch that, it's hot. We also have to realize that we have an awesome God. And there is potential for harm or benefit depending on how we approach God. The Bible says that the Lord God is a consuming fire. A consuming fire. And Jesus, after, you know, with his 12 disciples, he said to them, "And fear not that them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Fear in terms of respect. Fear in terms of being all by him. To have a respect. You know, I think we've gotten, in our society, we've gotten just so used to throwing terms around. I was a little bit shocked last week when one of my coworkers said it right during the break. It was one of those nights it was really cold. And she said that she wished she could go to hell and get some of that heat and bring here so she could go outside and smoke a cigarette. I'm thinking, do you really even realize what you're saying? I understand you want some convenience, but you want a little warm comfort. But first of all, you wouldn't want to go there. And secondly, if you could come back, just to do that, to smoke a cigarette, you want to take in all those poisons into your body. Okay. We have forgotten a sense of holiness. Verse 4 says, "The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish iniquity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob." All people, not just in Israel, but all people are to have a respect, a fear of God's holiness to those in powers of position. Like kings and presidents, we are to find strength in his justice, in providing equity for the people that are under us. Anyone who governs needs to have a respect in awe of God, who they're going to be accountable to. We often see how quickly leaders can be disposed of, dethroned, removed, killed. God is ultimately in charge. And Christ's millennial reign is coming and will be one of righteousness and justice. And this Psalm, Psalms 99, praises the holiness of Christ's reign on earth. Verse 5 says, "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." Because he is holy, we should worship him and worship him only. We give our worship to him. Here's what God said once. He said, "Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." The one who trembles at God's word. God sees our hearts when they're humble. He knows when our spirits are poor. And he is looking to us when we have respect for him, when we're trembling in awe of his greatness, of his power. Verse 6 says, "Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those that call upon his name, they call upon the Lord, and he answered them." This is a reference to when Moses was on Sinai. And remember, Moses and Joshua went up for a little bit, and then Moses went on, and it said that the cloud of the Lord came down upon the mountain. It was like a fire upon the mountain, and it engulfed the top of the mountain, and Moses went up there and didn't come back for 40 days. They were waiting for him to come back, and then during that time, God gave him the Ten Commandments. It was an awesome thing for the children of Israel to see. And when Moses came down from the mountain, he being in God's presence, his countenance was so bright that they had to put a veil over his head because it was so bright. It was like the transfiguration of Jesus. We're to call upon his name, the one who can deliver. And so we see here the importance of prayer. These are three intercessors that were able to pray and God responded. Boy, do we need like people like that today, right? We need people who can pray and God responds. Number 7, verse 7. He spoke upon them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and ordinances that he gave them. Note here the obedience of the prayer warriors. They were keeping God's word. Do we keep God's word? Do we share God's word? We have Bibles. We have multiple copies. But there's a great need for Bibles in other countries. Do you know people are really risk their lives to get a copy of the Bible? In some places where missionaries have gone in, maybe they've taken 100 copies with them. They have 200, 300 people that want a copy. And when they get that copy of the Bible, it's maybe been years before they've had a copy. And they hold it like, oh, I finally got my copy. And they hold it like it's something precious. And for those that don't have a copy, they memorize God's word. Sister so-and-so will stand up and share a whole chapter or a whole book that she memorized because she doesn't have the scriptures, but she was able to get a copy, memorize it, and pass that copy on to another person. Wow. To have that kind of heart for God's word. To keep God's word. Remember Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll keep my word. Number 8. Thou answered them, O Lord our God, thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. This, I think, notes the long-suffering of God and the forgiveness of God. Numbers 14:18 says, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. We see here that God longs to forgive. God is willing to allow us to make choices, to make errors, but he will respond to us when we come back to him. This psalm ends by exhorting us to worship this amazing God. We have focused so much on the love of God. We can't forget that God is also just. We can't forget that God will also punish. God will keep his word. Verse 9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Here's how Isaiah experienced the holiness of God when he was in God's presence. He says, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me. Isaiah was trembling a little bit. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Isaiah in the presence of God. And Isaiah was changed. He realized his iniquity, and yet he was willing to serve. to honor and to worship the one who is holy. We're in God's presence. When we come together, we want to worship God and to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to move in our midst. This is a holy moment. There ought to be a sense of awe in worship. And sometimes there's this holy hush that takes place. When we sense God is here, God is speaking and touching lives, changing hearts. God is holy, and He reigns. We should tremble before Him. God is great, high, and powerful. Exalt and honor and worship Him. Him alone. Him we fear, a holy fear, a good fear, a fear of respect, and He is the one that we want to serve. Lent is a time to prepare our hearts, to get ready for Easter, to remember that He is holy. And so He asks us to be holy, for He is holy. Remember, it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Jesus was transfigured to show His disciples who He really was. And this psalm reminds us of God's greatness, of who He is, and He is holy. And I pray that during this time of Lent that we would be in some ways transformed, that we would be transfigured, that we would be seen as true followers of Christ, His disciples, ones who are willing to fast, willing to pray, willing to serve. And so let this Lent be different than the rest of the year. Let this season of Lent be a time that is holy for us, to think about God, to sense His holiness, to feel His presence, and to tremble. Lord, we worship, Lord that we serve, the Lord that we love is an awesome power. He is holy. Let us tremble before Him. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God Almighty, holy is Your name, and we do come before You in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Thank You for Your reign, righteous and holy, just and equitable. We tremble before You in love and respect. We praise Your name and we declare that You are worthy of our worship. Who else could be? You are great and high above Your people. So we humble ourselves before You today, God. We ask for more of You, for more of Your Spirit, for more of Your mercy and grace, that which we don't deserve, but You're so free to give. Lord, forgive us for where we've done wrong. Help us to be long-suffering too, and change our hearts, O God, and make them new. Help us to be obedient to Your word as we live day by day by Your commands. Let there be a perfecting of holiness among us. And may this Lenten season be a special time, God, a holy time as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For it is You that worketh in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. Lord, we exalt Jesus Christ today. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We ask that You would move in this congregation as we celebrate Lent and prepare for Easter. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me in standing and we'll share together our final hymn? It is number 430. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.